This morning we're going to be continuing in your Lenten series that you've been going through with Pastor Miller, focusing on who Jesus is. And so if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7, 31. We're going to do verses 31 to 37. As you turn to your Bibles, I do want to thank you for your hospitality that we've had this weekend. My wife and I, Kelly and I, have just thoroughly enjoyed spending time with you. On Friday night, we got to meet John and his small group. We're glad that everybody's safe. They were axe throwing, and so no limbs. All limbs are in place. So we're good that you're safe. So I'm glad that you're here this morning. But we're also just privileged to see how God is at work in the body of Christ here and your care and concern for one another. So as we get ready to discover the Word and unpack God's Word, a little context, we are picking up today. We find Jesus and his disciples, they're heading from an area, on the way back from the city of Sidon, through Phoenicia and Galanitis region along the coast, and they're heading into the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And so we find it's an area known as the Decapolis. It's 10 cities that are pagan cities known in the time of the first century. We are excited, and for you geography buffs out there, this is the same area where Jesus went and he cast the demon out of the person that had legioned him into the pigs and they jumped into the sea. And so that's kind of the area that we're looking at this morning. This is not a Jewish area, it is a Gentile area as well. I'm going to have you stand this morning for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre, and he went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought him to a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ear, and he spit, touching his tongue. And he looked up to heaven, and he sighed, and he said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged him to tell no one, but the more he charged him, the more zealous he proclaimed it. And as they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Let's pray. Father, it's a beauty, it's a wonderful privilege to be here this morning to proclaim your word. And it's comforting to know that through your work of the Spirit that you have opened our eyes and ears to be able to see your good deeds and hear of the glory of your wonderful works. Today, may the words of my mouth not fall on deaf ears. May you open our ears so that we can hear your word and let it penetrate deep into our hearts. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear. And the oldest and strongest type of fear is the fear of the unknown. For 7-year-old Helen, the idea of a new teacher and someone who would come and care for her caused her great fear. Who would this person be? Would they love her? Would they respect her? Would they show her compassion and care? Or would the person coming to teach her show her disrespect and treat her as ignorant and hopeless? On March 3rd, 1887, Anne Sullivan knocked on the door with great fear herself. She walked into Helen's room and saw a little girl, fear and full of shame. And she took a big sigh of breath. She walked up to Helen, and with a gentle touch, she drove out all fear and restored hope. Anne Sullivan entered Helen Keller's world, and through her dedication and love, brought about restoration and hope for a little girl who was filled with loneliness, shame, and fear. We're all familiar with this type of fear, aren't we? Deep in all of us, we struggle with things that have happened to us. There are parts in our story that we will never share or we long to never share with anybody. I call this the inner 3%. In my world, I say that people are vulnerable up to 97% Where I get this number, I don't know, but I say there's a 3% inside that we hope and pray that no one would ever know about ourselves. Because the fear is if that 3% is ever exposed, we would be humiliated. And so we pack it, we put it down deep into our body, into our left pinky toe, and hope it is never exposed to anybody else. In today's passage, we have a man who has been the spectacle of his entire life. He's deaf, and therefore he can't produce good speech. Just imagine the rejection and the shame that he has had. Imagine what's going on in his inner 3%. Jesus knows this, and he refuses to make a spectacle of him. Instead, he enters his world to the deepest part of this man, and he restores him. Our passage today gives us hope as we learn about Christ is the Messiah and our Messiah who comes to heal the broken and to restore all things, including you, including your story, including your deep inner 3% that you hope nobody ever knows. God's grace will expose what you want to hide, not to shame you, but to forgive you, to deliver you, and to restore you. That's the beauty of the gospel and the hope that we have in Jesus. So the big idea, which the main passage is about today, is that Jesus, the restoring one, gives you new ears to hear and clarity of speech. So this morning I have 3 points that we're going to walk through as we dive into this great story of the miraculous hearing. So in similar to Mark chapter 2, we have a story where there's somebody who has an ailment. And some friends or people, family or friends, bring this person to Jesus hoping that something can happen. That he can have a new life, live normally. Now in this particular case, Mark brings something exciting here, right? So I want to read to you as we go through. Mark tells us the story that when he returned from the region of Tyre and Sidon and went through Sidon up to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And then in verse 32, and they brought him a man who was deaf and had speech impediment, and they begged him to lay hands on him. Mark does something exciting here as he describes the man with the speech impediment. He uses the word magolios. The word magolios is used in Mark 7 and is used in no other place in Scripture except Isaiah 35, which was read this morning. No other place. Now, as I would like to reread that passage. I was so glad that it was read this morning. But I want to read a portion of that again. Because Mark is foretelling something about Jesus. And he's declaring something to Jesus that he hopes all of us as readers would take in. So let me read to you from Isaiah 35. I'm going to read verses 3 to 6. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Listen carefully to verse 5. I think this is a beautiful picture. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, and then the lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. It is a foreshadowing of what's about to take place, and Mark does this through one word. It's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? How God works in mysterious ways. Throughout Mark's, as we read the book of Mark, throughout his ministry, he's been doing miraculous things, but nothing like this. He's preparing us, and he wants us to say, remember what Isaiah said? Do you remember in Isaiah 35? Be prepared, because this is a foretelling of the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah 35 passes, reads with glorious hope. If you go back and read through the entire chapter, which I highly encourage you to today, verses 1 and 2 and throughout the rest of the chapter of Isaiah, it reads that there will be a flower-lined highway of holiness where people are reconnected and restored with their glorious God. When this happened, there will be everlasting joy. Singing and gladness will become the new reality of those who are redeemed and restored to their God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? A beautiful picture of what it's like for us spiritually to be connected. There's something else that Mark reveals just in this little passage. Isaiah says the Messiah will come with divine retribution. However, Jesus doesn't come to harm us or to punish us. He came not to serve, but to be served, as we will read later in Mark chapter 10. Where is the divine retribution then? He didn't come to bring punishment, but to bear it on our behalf. Jesus came to identify with us and take upon the sins on our behalf. And when this happens, our tongues are loosened and we will declare him as king. I serve, as Mark had mentioned today, I do serve as the director of campus ministries at Midland University. And I have the wonderful privilege of it is much a pagan school, a lot of unbelievers there, or at least a lot of students that grew up in the church but don't know the gospel. This past fall was in a beautiful picture. A girl came into my office and she was struggling, and so I had the opportunity to talk with her, and one day I shared the gospel with her. And it was unbelievable to see her face light up as I shared the gospel with her. Her entire life she had heard the Bible stories, but in that particular moment, God entered in and opened up her heart and her mind. And she couldn't stop talking and sharing the hope that was with her with Christ. I've seen her grow in so many different ways this semester and abroad. And she just goes and she loves to share the gospel with all those. Imagine what happens when Christ enters in. So from the beginning of time, God has planned to open our hearts and our eyes to see through the Christ's work of the cross. He has restored our relationship to him. Christ is the fulfillment of that prophecy, and through faith in him, our minds and our hearts are restored. Now, Mark uses a rare word, as we had talked about just a minute ago, to prepare us for what is about to happen. And so I want to look specifically at how this miracle takes place and some of the things that happen. So Jesus, the Restorer, cares for the broken. So I have a question for you. If you had to choose between being deaf or blind, what would you choose? Don't answer out loud. You can keep it to yourself. But think about it for a moment. Would you rather be deaf or blind? Now, I'm assuming that most of you would prefer to lose your hearing, as it does not seem as debilitating to losing your vision. If you can see, you can still drive a car, read a book, go for a bike ride, or in some of your cases, watch the Razorbacks spring football game yesterday. Yes? Okay. However, medical authorities and those who are deaf tell us otherwise. Here's why. Listen carefully. As terrible as blindness would have been in iniquity, being deaf was much more. A person born blind does not suffer the social pain and stigma experienced by being deaf, such as gawking or the impatient stares of those who are not aware of their situation. There is also the humiliation of being thought ignorant simply because you could not speak. Can you imagine the difficulty? In the case of this poor man, he could not ask questions, he could not receive explanations, he could not participate in lively debates over who is the best basketball player ever. Or in the case of my kids, he could never engage in the game of who is this Disney princess. It's kind of a fun game that we play. But sadly, even the word of truth, he couldn't hear about God's word. He was stuck in his own head and there was no way out. Nothing could help him penetrate that. And so as we look at the miracle itself, we see that Jesus does a whole series of things with the deaf and mute man. As we look closely at Jesus' actions, we'll see Christ's unwavering care for the broken. So I want you to look with me this morning. What does he do? The first thing that we see in verse 33 is that it is Christ's look. Can you imagine the first time that the man stood before Jesus? I want you to imagine this. Can you imagine the fear and the anxiety that he is feeling? Up to this point, many people have humiliated him, have gawked at him, and suddenly he is standing in front of Jesus. Sign language doesn't come around for another 1,600 years. So what kind of communication did these people tell this deaf and mute man? And they stand him right in front of Jesus. There is fear and there is anxiety. And I'm telling you what, that inner 3% is full right in front of Jesus Christ Almighty. But the first thing that Jesus does is look upon the man with great care. Out of respect for the man, Jesus quietly takes him aside from the crowd to avoid embarrassment that he has had to deal with his entire life. Christ sees his brokenness and is filled with compassion. I think he does the same thing for us. He has compassion upon us, and he sees us in our brokenness. And then he does something really unique. He touches him. After he's taken him away, Jesus thrusts his fingers into his ears, and then he touches his own tongue, and he touches the man's tongue. And in many ways, he's communicating, I'm going to restore you. He's telling him, I'm going to enter in, and this man has no idea what's about to take place. But unlike the other healings, Jesus uses a physical touch to restore the man. He could have spoken a word. He could have simply said, you are healed. But instead, he chose to lay his hands upon the man. And those disciples that were with him were in shock. Because the fear now is that Jesus could go blind or mute. Because the medical advances at the time were not very advanced. But so why did Jesus do it? Reaching out, of course, was the instinct of his loving heart. But he also wanted to take away the man's fear. The anxiety that the man had, Jesus wanted to calm him in that moment. A simple touch is filled with compassion in many ways, says, I am with you and I understand. Genuine compassion for a person doesn't just feel, it reaches out. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to spend some time in Dublin, Ireland. And we were working with the Dublin Christian Mission. And we would spend time with the homeless. And early on, we would make meals and bring coffee and tea to those who were there on the streets. And originally, I watched the director, Joe, interact with those who had no place to live, sometimes no jacket to wear, and he would give them tea. And what's interesting about Joe, what draws people into the Christian mission, it's not their food, although it is very good. It was Joe's compassion. It was his willingness to reach out, to touch, to shake their hand, to give them hope. And it's through them that people would come to the mission and hear about the love of Christ and their lives would be changed. After he touched his tongue, Jesus looked up. This is an interesting point as well. He looks up to heaven and he sighs. It's almost as if Jesus is looking up to tell the man, the power that I am about to give to you is not me. It's not based upon my ability. It's not based upon, but it's based upon God, the Holy Father. Right? And it comes down. And Jesus wants him to understand that it's not magic, but it's God's grace that heals him. He sighs, and although this is inaudible to the man, it visibly communicates to him that Jesus was moved by his brokenness and the man's condition. I find it interesting that it says he sighed. It's interesting in the passage. And then we find God's word coming plainly. After he sighed, Jesus spoke epatha, which means to be opened. And in an instant, Christ not only opened his ears and loosened his tongue, he opened his heart and his mind. And with his heart opened and filled with love for Christ, this man could hardly control his passion for the gospel. When Jesus tells him, hey, don't tell anybody about this, it makes the man do it all the more. It's unbelievable, right? We do this all the time. Our community recently had a flood and we became an island. We're surrounded by water. And everybody you talk to about March 15 or March 13, you say, what did you see? They cannot stop talking about the water. I was in my house and the waters came. I was on this road and all of a sudden the waters were going over here. You can't stop telling about what they saw. So imagine a man who couldn't hear and who couldn't speak, and you're trying to tell him to be quiet. That's not happening. It's a story that will continue for a long time. Christ's look, his touch, and his words restoring us. We're all broken and sinful at one time and separated from God in need of restoration. Our hearts were far from God, but through faith, by grace, in Christ alone, what a beautiful song, isn't it? We can be restored to God the Father. When we encounter Jesus in our lives, we are restored. We are filled with hope. It will be continuous that we share it with others. But I think that which is interesting is God is not satisfied with us being just a witness of his work of grace. He's called you and I to be an instrument of that grace to others. When we have been close to carrying a life-changing message of grace, the sovereign King with us wherever we go, we've been charged. And we've been given the same grace that enables us to be agents of restoration. How are you going about sharing the good news of how Christ has changed your heart and your minds? Are you reaching out to those in need? Christ's passion for healing the broken is obvious of God's mission to restore all things. If you look at verse 37 and 36 with me as we finish out this text, we find that those close to the man were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. And he even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The question is, what did they find so surprising? They brought the man to Jesus right? This is exactly what they wanted. And now they stand in awe of who he is. Maybe it was perhaps they were so amazed by the way Jesus did it. He quietly pulled him from the crowds, and with humility and great modesty, he graciously entered the man's world of silence and spoke the only words that he could understand. Christ's coming as a sign of love demonstrates his mission that he desires to restore not only all of us, but all of creation. God's grace to his people is the restoration is shown in primarily two ways. First, he provides his Son to perfectly all the requirements needed to restore all of creation. Through it, he defeats death and sin, and in an act of divine mercy, the only way that God can accomplish it. By God's mission and Christ's acts of restoration alone, we are restored to God. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's grace. And secondly, here's what I think is also important. What I love about the restoring work of Christ, it is that it has no limits. It has no boundaries. As we can see from the story today, it doesn't matter the race, the age, the brokenness, the area which you live. The gospel goes and reaches the far reaches of the world. There is no boundary. It doesn't matter how broken you are, if you can't even hear or you can't even speak, Christ still can enter into your brokenness and he can bring healing to that 3% that you so long to keep hidden. The hope in the extent of the gospel are born out of Christ's compassion for the broken. When our eyes are opened and our hearts are softened by God, we are finally able to hear the hope that comes only through Jesus. In God's amazing grace, He meets us where we're at, just as He did the blind and the deaf man. He meets us right there. He comes to us in our fears. He draws us near when we are separated. He meets us in our doubt and our shame. He pursues us when we wander. When we sin, He comes to us with conviction and forgiveness. He empowers us when we are weak. He restores us when we are unfaithful. When we have experienced an encounter with Christ, our ears are opened, and our hearts have been changed, and we respond to the grace that has been poured out upon us. And we are called to bear witness to the work of the Holy Spirit that comes upon our lives, that enables us to be the hands and feet of Jesus as we bring restoration to a hurting and broken world. Let me pray for us this morning. Father, Lord, I do thank You for this word that You've given to us and this hidden gem in Mark where we hear of a deaf and mute man that You had restored. It's a great story of hope. It's a great story that You are continuing to restore all of us in our brokenness and even the inner 3% that we long to keep hidden. You long to restore that in us. Help us to come to You with our brokenness, knowing that through You, You can restore our hearts. It's through Your grace alone that this can happen. We thank You for this morning and the opportunity we have to read Your word and be refreshed and renewed. We pray this all in Your name. Amen.